If you're one of those people who listens to our summer reading segments and wonders how all these extremely busy people manage to read any books at all, I'm certainly one of those people. I'm always very impressed. But our next guest might be able to give you a few tips. Catherine Liddell is an Arrernte and Luritja woman from Central Australia. She's a longtime advocate for First Nations rights and currently the CEO of the peak body for Aboriginal children, SNAKE. She's also a key member of the Coalition of Peaks and is involved in ongoing work under the National Partnership Agreement on Closing the Gap. On top of all that, she's a board member of several organisations and a grandmother. Catherine Liddell, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Hello, good morning. How lovely to be with you.
And that question, how do you manage to actually find time to read? When do you read?
When do I read? I read whenever I have a moment. And I always have two or three books on the go, depending on what that moment might be and where I might be, how heavy it is. If I'm traveling, it's got to be a light book. If I'm at home, I have several, depending on which home it is, because I have to live between states. So if I'm in Alice Springs, there's a much bigger collection of books that I might pick up depending on my mood. And if I'm in Melbourne, they're generally a little bit lighter. And every single one of those books has been curated depending on where I've been at a point in time. So I love a bookstore. You rarely ever see a bookstore anymore. And when you do, they're so special. So I'm usually drawn to the first cover that takes my eye. And again, those sorts of things sort of transport me back to a moment in time where I'm not only reading my book, but I'm remembering how awesome it felt to be in that space and time. And that's a really lovely feeling. And that really makes you think about how you find the time. And then at one point, I sort of thought, you know, there's another way to do this. I spend a lot of time walking along rivers and those sorts of things. And there's a thing called audiobooks as well. So I have worked out that you not only have the possibility of picking a book up in your hands and curling yourself up into bed or into a corner, but these days you can go for a walk and listen to a book at the same time. And that has been a game changer. So I usually have two or three of those on the go as well.
Well, tell us about what's on the go right now.
All right. So the one that I put into my hands is called Ghost Story, and that's written by Eliza Lodato. And this one, I love a ghost story. Anyone who knows me is nodding their head right now because they know that there is no such thing as me walking into a bookstore where you see something aptly named Ghost Story where I'm not going to pick it up. But this one's even better because it's situated in a rugged island off Scotland. And again, those things, they inspire the imagination. And when I think about that, it also transports me to a point in time because I grew up in the middle of nowhere, you know, and I was surrounded by red dirt and spent a lot of time climbing windmills and fences and finding little patches under a giant desert oak. But we knew that the last name Little obviously had a massive attachment to Scotland and in particular to the Orkney Isles. So the images of this rugged landscape of Scotland and the Orkney Isles had always haunted me. So whenever I find a book that also refers to that part of my heritage, that also is something that I just cannot take my mind off or my hands off because it takes me to another place and it gives me a different, a different vision of how my life could have evolved while simultaneously giving me a really good story that goes, oh, I wonder if I could be the heroine in this book.
And what else? What are you listening to?
What am I listening to? Now, they're very, very different. Those books, I have one on the go called Where He Can't Find You. And believe it or not, I'm a sucker to an algorithm. So that one came up in my Facebook algorithms and it said, you might want to listen to this book. And again, it's about some young, I think they're probably late teenagers. And obviously, this one's got some horror elements to it, which I didn't realise actually when I first picked it up as an audio book because I wasn't reading the descriptions. I was really listening to the first few words. And the first few words really piqued my interest because I love the words of young people. And again, it's one that could be dismissed just as a horror story, but in actual fact, it's talking about a mining town that's dying and what happens when people are living in those environments and how people might react and the stories that they build around themselves. And then the second audiobook that I'm listening to at the moment is called Just the Nicest Family. And again, that one, a sucker for a title and a sucker for an algorithm suggestion. And that one was my Audible recommendation saying, we think you're going to love this book. And I've got to say, I am enjoying it.
And were you always an avid reader from childhood?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always. It used to be 3 books a week. That was my average, 3 books a week. Yeah, yeah. And I actually used to trade my books with the cafe owner because I read so many of them. So she'd keep me supplied in coffee and I'd keep her supplied in books because there just wasn't enough room in my house. Again, I've alluded to it. I spent a lot of time out bush. And there's not a lot to do out there when you're not working. So there was no TV, there was no radio, there was none of those sorts of things. But there were books, so the bigger, the better. Absolutely loved the classics. But I've read all of the trilogies. I've read, you know, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And anything that took me to a place that I couldn't see myself. And I know I was at the cinemas the other day. And up comes Wuthering Heights. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I've got to see that movie because, again, that was my absolute favourite book growing up, probably because, again, it was set in a rugged landscape, so very different from the beauty and ruggedness of the landscape I was sitting in. But, of course, it had a heroine called Catherine, and that meant, you know, you can put yourself in that book and you can imagine a different life. But when I was thinking about it this morning, I realised, well, you know what? Wuthering Heights is also potentially a ghost story. So was that what cemented my love for ghost stories, that being my favourite book as a child?
And what about for your grandkids? Are they old enough to read too? And are you trying to make them passionate readers too, if so?
Oh, they love being read to. But to be perfectly honest, their favourite stories are the ones that I make up. So we spend, and it is actually not uncommon if they're having trouble sleeping for their mum to ring me up and say, can you tell the children a story? And sometimes I'm really tired, and you've alluded to it before, when you're really tired, it's really hard to come up with a story. So what I'll do is I'll talk to them about my work.
Oh, that'll put you to sleep, won't it?
It would. But what I have found is it actually helps me consolidate how to communicate what you do when you work in community engagement and when you work in policy design in a way that is palatable and translatable. But not only that, inspires other people to want to be part of it. So if you can do that to your children, you've nailed it. Haven't quite nailed it yet, but they certainly love the stories about how we design pathways and how we find giant dinosaur eggs and unicorns hiding in bushes. So and again, all of those are elements of design, and all of them, I've enabled them to create the story along with me, which means I get such a better story out of it. But look, we love a story, we love a book, and any excuse to put my hands on a paperback, I will take.
There you go, some tips on summer reading and on what to do when your grandkids want a bedtime story. Catherine Liddell, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Catherine Liddell is the CEO of the Peak Body for Aboriginal Children, SNAIC.